When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's Christmas!
Good tidings we bring, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to 2018's 12 Rambles of Christmas in association with Bet365. This is number 8 in this year's 12 Rambles of Christmas. Of course, 12 things that we love about football. It's number 8, guys. We are two-thirds of the way in.
I think I'm insistent that it's glad tidings, not good tidings. But I might be alone in that.
I think it is glad tidings, isn't it?
Is it really?
I'd like to see you mix
tidings.
It up.
Yeah. No, but I wanted to be a bit original.
Fair enough.
Bad tidings.
Yeah, bad tidings or anything.
Amazing tidings.
Great tidings, guys.
Very tidy indeed. Now, football has changed over the years. This we know.
I cannot disagree with that.
Even in the last 20 years, we've seen a lot of changes in the game. So is the digital version of the beautiful game. That has changed immensely over the years. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at the video game.
AKA Pete Donaldson's favourite one.
Playing video games.
I imagine that when we decided we were going to do this series and all the research that was involved in it, your time was spent 90% researching this one.
Just watching Let's Plays on YouTube of people playing old arcade video games.
Well, I'd like to begin by saying, if people think, football games have actually, they're more popular now than they've ever been, but they've always been there.
Agreed.
Especially for guys our age, you know, sort of mid to late 30s. We're in our 30s. We're not gamers in the modern sense. There's nothing wrong with that.
I suppose Pete is.
But yeah, again, if you are, good luck to you. When thinking about football games, you know, they have been a big part of our sort of footballing experience, really. You know, we knew players in faraway lands, heard of clubs and competitions that we never really saw on TV because of these games. And you could argue that they actually opened our eyes to football beyond our own borders, in a sense.
I agree.
Certainly in the early days.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd argue that the modern incarnation of something like FIFA has done more to, I don't know, advertise the game in places it might not have reached than anyone else.
Oh, absolutely.
The amount of kids that are just, you know, constantly streaming games.
Well, in America in particular, I think a lot of a lot of people have been introduced to football as a sport through FIFA because the game is so popular and so big and so well rendered and so
detailed.
I think it's also affected the sport itself.
I do.
Yeah, I think I'd say fans, it's an outside observation and it's only anecdotal, but I think fans are partly more demanding these days because they're used to seeing video game players on things like FIFA where the touch is automatic and the first touch is brilliant and the shooting's brilliant and the passing's always spot on. And I think I've done this before, not wittingly, but if we're sitting down playing a game of FIFA and we play for a few hours and I go home and watch a game that night, it's almost weird. You have to like reset yourself to the fact that it's actual human beings and it's fallible, because FIFA, although you might be terrible at it as I am, but it still leads you to believe that all the players are, their first touch is perfect.
Yeah.
Which it isn't.
But yeah. I think it's important to remember that things didn't just start with Pro Evo, didn't just start with ISS.
Pelé Soccer 1981.
Pelé Soccer 1981.
81.
Love that.
Hey,
I
can go earlier than that. So I'll do a little potted history of some of the things that I've sort of picked up.
Because
I've been a football fan for less time than I've been a gamer, so I'm kind of familiar with games even before I even got into football. 1979.
Do you know what? That's amazing. I didn't think we'd be having any 70s chat.
1979, Nazzle Soccer.
Nazzle!
Wow. on the Intellivision.
The Intellivision?
I don't even know what the Intellivision is.
Wow. Yeah,
I think it was a bit like a ColecoVision.
I don't know what that is either.
It's like a really naff piece of crap.
Did you play it through teletext, Peter?
Pelé's game was obviously very early as well. The first management game, though, was Kevin Toms' Football Manager. Now, Kevin Toms was, back in the day, video games could be created by like one or two people, and Kevin Toms was a guy who came up with a management game, one of the first management games. Mm. It was called Football Manager, and he had his face on every copy, and every advert had this bearded, rather overweight man on every one. And I think he sort of came back quite easily to do a mobile version of it that nobody bought. Here are some. There's some really interesting titles because you could just create them with one or two people, really small development groups. 1986, Dundee's European Challenge. Anyone?
That's
love
wow.
that.
Dundee.
Yeah.
Here, Dundee United.
Here is your chance to help Archie Knox achieve European glory.
Archie Knox. I've got to get a copy of that.
And then it sort of went a bit later. The fascinating things are kind of like the tie-ins where you had famous footballers sort of getting involved. But like obviously the late 80s, Dino Dini. Do you remember that guy who made Kickoff and Kickoff 2?
Yeah, I remember.
I used to play Kickoff all the time.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the big system seller for the Amiga, certainly in the Atari ST. Sensible Soccer arrived in 1992, and that was the thing that got
played
me
that well, yeah.
sort of thing. Played it to death. They had custom teams. They had teams based on ingredients,
crisp flavors,
yeah,
things like that. How members of parliament and
it
stuff
had
like
a
that.
Real sense of humor to it, didn't it?
Really
it also
did.
Had the really unusual sort of top-down look.
Yeah,
that is,
well, that was kind of like the motif of Sensible Software, who created it. They made things games like Cannon Fodder and Megalomania, stuff like that.
Oh
and
yeah, they're all
those,
that
and those little
bird's
figures.
Eye view.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was actually a derivative of that called Total Soccer that came out, which I was quite fond of, where you could do like overhead kicks, backflips, dogs would come on the pitch, streakers would come on the pitch, you could chin the ref.
Which game was that?
It was a copy of Sensible Soccer, okay, yeah. but it was basically just a naughty version of where you could punch the ref.
Well, you could punch
like
people in the original FIFAs.
I'm fairly certain you couldn't, Jim.
You could push them over. You could push them over.
But it made a little punch sound.
Yeah,
right. Oh,
that
yeah.
Is
no,
true.
That was
that
a
is
noise.
True.
That was a psh, noise. That was like a tackle.
I mean,
wasn't it?
There was.
I think that counts.
You can't punch
there,
people.
There was a
I don't know.
There was a situation in one of the FIFA games as well where you could run away from the referee.
Yeah. And he could never give you a yellow card.
Yeah. And also you could stand in front of the goalkeeper and like chest it to the side and knock it in. It was hard to do, but you could do it. Well, and it was worth trying every single time.
Well, obviously nowadays the cover stars of FIFA, it's hotly contested. Everyone wants to be on the front of FIFA. And that means that you're the biggest footballer in the world.
Not always.
Not always. But at FIFA 96 was when it became, it wasn't isometric anymore. It was all three-dimensional stuff. And it looked amazing. Full CD-ROM commentary, proper people commentating, like mentioning the actual player names was a big thing for me. Two covers were created for FIFA 96. Mm-hmm. Can anyone guess who were on the cover? Who was on the cover?
1996.
There's a real
Zidane.
Is it an American player?
No.
Was it a Japanese player?
No.
I smell it. Do you know what I smell? A guy in for gold.
As well.
Give us a clue.
So, you're not going to say Les Ferdinand.
No, I'll give you him. It was Ronald De Boer and Jason McAteer.
That's right.
Love that. Jason McAteer.
There was another version.
Spice Boys.
There was another version for the Sega Saturn. Iwan Sabau, the Romanian footballer, and Andy Legg.
Wow.
And it was a picture taken from the 1994 version of the Anglo-Italian Cup final. a game between Notts County and Brescia. George Hadji played in that game, and he didn't make the cover, which is incredible.
Wow. Andy Legg, you can imagine him going down the pub now. You know, I was on the cover of it. Shut up, Andy. get a bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's really interesting about this is that, I, you know, having read about the origins of FIFA and how it, you know, EA themselves weren't really sure about it because, you know, football wasn't particularly popular in America.
Well, Madden was their big cash cow.
Yeah, absolutely.
John Madden makes $2 million a year, I think, from just using his name for the NFL game.
Wow. Right. Well, I mean, like, there is a sense that FIFA didn't quite know themselves what they were sitting on, and that this was an industry that was about to become absolutely massive. Because before the duopoly that we have now, there were so many football games, you know, and it would get in the FIFA licensing made a huge difference to the credibility of them. And also, the first game was from the angle of effectively from one of the corners of the stadium, which made it just far easier to play. And it was a lot of those games. Sensible Soccer is a particular example. It took ages to get good at that because it was quite chaotic to start.
Well, you didn't have automatic control of the football, did
you?
It's
really fast.
You lose it quite a lot.
But you know, speaking to me, it feels like, as you mentioned at the top of this, you go for this thing where video gaming in general is very new, so it's almost quite egalitarian, so these small teams of developers can make their own games. And then you go through a phase of where it's just the big production houses making these games. And now, because of the internet, you get these indie games as well. Are there any football indie games around?
There are a few. There's like some that are kind of, you'd look at something like Rocket League, which is a good example, soccer, but it's cars. There are sort of indie ones. I'm trying to think of
New Star Soccer
on the iOS.
Nearly ruined my life.
Yeah, stuff like that. That's a really good example.
About Roberto Baggio's magical kicks.
That counts.
Yeah.
That does count. And I wish it was still there. I don't know why anybody...
You can still find it.
You can still find it, and it is a bit of a time sink, but I don't know why a production house hasn't produced a version of Roberto Baggio's magical kicks and put it back on online where it belongs.
Do you have any obscure ones that you guys remember from...
We'll do those after the break, I think.
I think once you say Roberto Baggio's magical kicks, is you can't follow that. So we naturally need to have a break.
I've got a story about an American-based quest to find a soccer game after this.
Have you just... We'll hear that in just a moment, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back, everybody. It's number eight. Number eight. Still number eight on the 12 Rambles of Christmas.
The Paul Gascoigne. The Robert Prosinecki. Number eight.
Frank Lampard?
For a bit, yeah.
For a bit.
For a bit.
Why not, eh?
The story I referenced before. So when I was about 13, I went on holiday to the US with my parents.
Ooh. Where'd you go? Where exactly?
Florida.
Nice time?
Yeah, I had a great time.
Disney World?
But it was around, yeah. And it was around the time of my 14th birthday. Or maybe my 13th, but it doesn't matter. My parents said, "Oh, you know, when we're over there, I'll get you a game for your Super Nintendo because I think at that time electronics were cheaper in the US."
Oh, but was it compatible?
Well, this is the thing. Well, I'll tell you the story.
What are you playing?
So I decided for some reason I wanted to go to the home of where they didn't care about football to buy a football game, and I found this game called Goal, right? G O A L exclamation mark with a terrible picture on the cover, not endorsed by anyone.
I believe that was a kickoff 3, effectively.
Well, anyway. It was absolutely terrible. Mm. And the thing that made it all the worse was that it wasn't compatible for my UK Super Nintendo, mm-hmm. which I found out about halfway through the holiday. So now I had to go to another place and get a converter. Journey, yeah. But of course, you can't get a converter in the US because...
They don't need
them. No, exactly. So it's like, and obviously, this is a first world problem. When I got home, I was like, well, I can't play this game. I couldn't play it for another couple of weeks. When I finally got to play it, it was genuinely one of the worst games I've ever played.
You said you like Kickoff 2.
It wasn't like that. It was left to right, and it did this weird thing, right? So it was terrible anyway. But when any of the... this is going to sound mental, but I promise this is true. When either team, whether you're playing against the computer or against a mate, when either of you got in on goal or had a goal-scoring chance, it cut this really weird cinematic experience.
Oh, no.
And it would go, da-dung, da-dung, da-dung. And you'd go for a different angle and it would completely throw you off and you'd have to try and score.
What have you got against Ceremony?
And that was for every single chance, whether it be like a snapshot, a header, a penalty, a one-on-one. And it was unplayable. So if you're out there and you've played that game, you know what I mean, get in touch because I'd love to share experiences.
Mm. Yeah. It's like the penalty system on FIFA now is
baffling.
But there was a couple that I used to, of more obscure ones that I used to love when I was younger. There was one called Actua Soccer.
Oh, I remember that. Barry Davis commentated on it.
Yes, it was Barry Davis commentating. Me and my friends at school would play that at lunchtime. And
loved Actua Soccer. Yeah,
Luis Enrique!
All of the players looked like Shaqiri because they were so... sort of
little barrels
and so little lucky. Barrels indeed.
They did a special I think they did the Euro 96 game as well.
Yes, that's
and also
right.
The Super Furry Animals video. They created who's the lead singer of the Furry Animals?
Gruff Rhys.
They created a Gruff Rhys for the video.
Oh, that's cool. I'll tell you what, when we talk about the changes, you think about the likes of Kickoff 2 and whatnot. Imagine if you sat an 18-year-old now down in front of Kickoff 2, they'd be like, I'd rather it was paint dry.
No, because I reckon the gameplay has to be better because the graphics aren't as good.
Well, I'm not sure.
I think it wasn't. None of them were.
It's a bit like, it's almost the equivalent of I can't think off the top of my head who I would choose here, but a footballer who would smoke and drink, a little bit overweight, but would manage to kick his way through top flight games in the 60s or the 70s, taking him from there and putting him in modern day, and it would just look rubbish and embarrassing.
I don't know, if you graphics aside, a lot of the games, there were a lot more about fun. A good example was one called Sega Worldwide Soccer, which was on Saturn, and it was probably the best game on it. And you played down the pitch, and you shot both ways as well, so sometimes you couldn't see the goal you were running towards. But it was brilliant. It was so playable. And that's one of the things about Pro Evo, isn't it, that they still pride themselves on now. It's a lot more cartoony almost. And they say that what Pro Evo tries to create is how you imagine football to be in your head when you're fantasizing about it, whereas FIFA tries to make it as realistic as possible.
And it kind of looks more like television, doesn't it?
Yeah,
Pro Evo used to be called ISIS, right?
ISS,
International Superstar Soccer.
And we have to mention Championship Manager.
You have to mention.
Well, I was about to say, because we've been talking about games playing them. And,
well, 1992 was the first Championship Manager. They split two ways in 2005. Football Manager went one way, and I think took the database, and Championship Manager went the other way. I voiced the 2013 advert.
Before Finchie
took it off me back again, so
I found, and this is probably a popular refrain, and Pete, you're going to call me a video game basic bitch here, as you normally do. It's far too complicated for me personally now, but there was a golden period, and I think it was Championship Manager 01-02, which essentially ruined my university career. Well, with any chance I had of doing brilliant at university, I still did okay, but I would have done a lot better. And that to me is the sweet spot. And if they would release that for the Mac now, I'm not sure you'd ever see me again.
Well, they got cut down versions for the
mobile. Well, I've got 97-98 on my MacBook, and that is just a little bit too basic.
Well, again, you just need a little bit more.
Talking
don't you?
Of games though, influencing the actual game, and I know this has been done to death with Championship Manager, but you know, people with clubs from far and wide would use that often as a resource.
Their scouting database is used by a lot of football teams, and football teams who don't have the resources to have their own scouting networks, their own kind of access to the database and stuff. I wouldn't mind bashing through a few licensed games, so footballers or football managers.
So we've talked about the endorsement.
The endorsement. It's kind of a crossover with really. Yeah. Game Boy Color, David O'Leary had a management sim.
Oh, my babies.
No one's touching my Game Boys.
Yeah. Get this, Ali McCoy's director of football.
Director of football? You play as a director of football?
No, I think it was just a management sim, but they just put Ali McCoy.
Would have been very ahead
these
of its
were
time.
Very generic football games that footballers just lend their name to.
Get a bit of work, a bit of beer money.
Michael Owen had a PlayStation 1 in the PlayStation era, and it was flip it. A, it was dreadful. B, he pops up every now and again in video format going, well done, you have won the cup. And it's just, oh, it's just so terrible. But the funniest bit was how like different markets would license games and change the players depending on where they were in the world. So because it was quite easy to do. You just swap out a head on the picture. Kevin Keegan's player manager for the SNES, and we do say SNES here in the UK. The American listeners say SNES and they get very upset.
Japan, they call it the Famicom, don't they?
They do, the Super Famicom. Keggy, when that game was released in Germany, they replaced Kevin Keegan with Karl-Heinz Rummenigge.
That's outrageous. Kevin Keegan
played Hamburg. In Germany.
won huge awards.
Again, unlucky Kevin Keegan. Yeah.
Probably programmed the game himself and everything.
They had to change it. He kept crashing.
Peter Shilton's handball Maradona. That's quite popular. Oh, kind of touchstone.
Peter Shilton's Brexit now.
Yeah,
Terry Butcher didn't play that one.
In the 8-bit era, Gazza Super Soccer, it was a pretty good game, and it was known as Anders Limpar's Proffs Football in Sweden.
Wow.
They just swapped out Gazza.
Gazza, yeah.
Emlyn Hughes
had soccer.
Had
Chris Kamara had a game as well. Quite late on as well. I think it was a PlayStation.
Did Beardo have a game, Pete?
Beardo, I think, had a game,
did
yeah.
Did he?
I think so, yeah.
Micro Pro Soccer in the UK became Keith Van Aaron's Pro Soccer. He was a goalkeeper for the Cincinnati Kids, which is a really weird one.
Weird.
But there was a shitty management sim that nobody liked, but they rebadged it for every club who wanted to toss a bit of money. So there was, and still remains, in 2002, a Portsmouth club manager. That was just basically a badged up version.
How are you not involved in that?
Ipswich had a version, Southampton had a version, Charlton had a version.
In 2002, Portsmouth were awful. I mean, 2002-03 was the season they got promoted. So the season before they got promoted, they weren't very good at all. Do you know why? That was when they had Prozanecki. That's probably why.
Yeah. See.
Chris Kamara's game, actually, you could play games in a volcano or on a skyscraper, which are quite nice. And finally for now, Alex Ferguson had Alex Ferguson's player manager. Who can forget Alex Ferguson nodding them in from a Ryan Giggs cross?
In many ways, his greatest contribution to the game in this country.
I don't.
So very quickly, around the table, what was the game, what would you say is the one football video game you'd take to like a desert island that you'd stick with?
The current FIFA game, because as I say, games are so superior now to what they were
in
the past.
No nostalgia? You don't want any interest?
No, bollocks to that. I honestly think you play computer games now, the kids don't know they've been born. I think they are so superior to the tosh that we used to play.
You know what they say, nostalgia's not what it used to be, is it?
I would take the Dreamcast's Virtua Striker. It was good. It was Japanese. It was really good because every goal you scored, you'd get a point for immediately. Yeah. Like, you'd get like a point score. So it really encouraged you to leather the ball from miles out.
And if
you did a particularly good goal, rainbows came out the ball.
That's true. We used to have Virtua Striker on our student union, didn't we, Luke?
Mm.
It was like
an arcade.
We had a fair few ding-dongs on that. Didn't that was called that? What's your one?
It'd be a toss-up between FIFA 2004, which I remember being really, really playable and having that balance right, or any Pro Evo game from around that same time, because I think they were just a bit more fun and it was a bit
to be
more...
fair, Pro Evo Pro about Evo 2002,
six,
2003.
Six, yeah.
So I'd lean towards Pro Evo.
I think I'd probably go Championship Manager 0102. I'm just hungry for it right now. Right
Get
here,
it on
right
the
now.
DOS box.
Yeah, uh-huh. Definitely. But I do have a lot of affinity with a game that we haven't mentioned yet for the Mega Drive called Ultimate Soccer.
Okay, right.
Which was, and the great thing about that was you could, I think I might be getting this wrong, but I'm fairly certain you could choose whether to play a full 11-a-side game or you could play a 6-a-side game and it would be indoors with boards and you could choose out of the 11 which 6 players you wanted. So you get that classic. And we're talking about probably mid to late 90s here. So you get a classic like Italian team and you could put them on a 6-a-side team and play indoor rules.
Nice.
And me and my mate Jimmy used to do that all the time. And we used to do the commentary ourselves because they didn't have licenses for the players. So we used to basically interpret who it was.
Make your own fun back in our day.
Exactly. Nostalgia.
I've
spoken about this, I think, in the Ramble book. On the Ball was a game, a management sim on the Amiga. And the animations were watercolours.
Oh,
so like every frame of the animation was kind of this beautiful watercolour. Oh, magical.
No one's touching my watercolours.
Nobody's touching my watercolours.
We love video games, and that's what's in this list.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you love them too. Thank you very much for listening to number 8 of our 12 Rambles of Christmas in association with Bet365. We'll be back tomorrow with another glance in the direction of a subject from football that we delight in. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Goodbye. Nice
goodbye from me.
Season's greetings and a happy new year.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.